The Bengals Beat podcast is proudly sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Now is the time to head out to the production works. It's where we've held our live BBPs. It's home to the incomparable madness that is the 50 West Punch-Out. The place is buzzing every night with sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, trivia, running groups. It's all based out of the Pro Works down on Wooster Pike. You may even spot Optimistic Bobby preaching the Laser Cats gospel. Hope to see you soon at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Every week, your Cincinnati.com beat writers, Paul Leonard Jr. and
Fletcher Page,
take you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium. We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, we're always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go. All right, welcome to the Deuce. It is the Bengals Deuce Podcast 2. I'm your Bengals writer, Cincinnati.com, Cincinnati Inquirer, Paul Leonard Jr. here with my man Fletcher Page, my fellow Bengals beat writer for Cincinnati.com, the Cincinnati Inquirer, fueled by 50 West Brewing Company, as always. What's up?
I just keep showing up.
You do. And, you know, we don't ask you to, but you do. You don't need days off, or you were told you can't get a day off now.
Thanks to Tez, I'm not going to this week.
This is like, we love to do behind the curtain of the beat on these pods, especially the Deuce, which is like the redheaded stepchild, so kind of like you a little bit.
I'm the redheaded first child.
The redheaded first child, sorry. But not, there's no marriages, no second marriages. You're the one.
I have more on this, on my situation from back in 87, but now is not the time nor place.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, whenever.
That's a teaser.
We'll expound on that in the future. But the Deuce is sort of the redheaded stepchild of the Bengals Beat podcast. What would you call it? Franchise? I think we're a franchise now once you go to three. It's a good chance to expound on behind-the-scenes stuff. You got screwed by Tez this week.
Well, every day that I made that drive up here, I'm thinking, today's the day I'm going to get Tez. Started on Monday, and we are extended through. He did say coming off the practice field on Wednesday, he said it very like it was clear to everybody. He was like, I talked to you guys on Friday. That's how he said it.
Yeah, that's.
I was like, oh, Friday.
First of all, you haven't been here in. You've only talked once since the middle of last year, I think, or towards the end of last year, I guess. And I don't know that there was. There's definitely nobody knows that. Oh yeah, Friday is Vontez Burfict Day. And when you come off of a 4-game suspension, and only spoke once in the entire preseason, I don't know that there's really any specified day for anything. But the point being of why you got hosed in this. We had already set that up as like basically your first kind of off day. Take that Friday off, man. You earned it. Grind through these first couple weeks. Tez is like, nah. I don't think so. You will be working Friday, sir.
That's right.
If you're writing the perfect story, then I will talk on Friday on what is supposed to be your off day.
I've been on Tez duty. I've had a lot of Tez questions. I'm still waiting on some Tez answers. Well, it's been interesting. You know, Preston Brown has been really funny about Tez all week. We had the opportunity to have him on Beyond the Stripes.
Yeah, which we'll have that audio later on here in this podcast. Okay. We have a lot of what Preston has to say, so you'll get to hear some of that, but continue.
I didn't know that was our audio guy, so that's a nice trend.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
But Preston, I talked to Hardy Nickerson, and it's just funny how maybe a second-year guy will talk about Tez compared to Preston, who basically insinuated that Tez was overweight and couldn't possibly ever look good, and
yes,
made jokes about him working out. It was just, it was interesting to listen to Preston talk about it. You know, Carlos Dunlap is a big fan of Tez.
Yes,
Dre Kirkpatrick loves Tez. It's yes. Just there's an outside perception that I have had of Vontez since I've kept up with him and his career. Getting in the locker room, everybody in here loves him.
Yeah, teammates do.
The teammates do.
T- teammates, some teammates do. I think most defensive teammates like Tez.
They respect the Tez.
Or it could be scared of the Tez. Or
just, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you'll hear Preston. I mean, he says, when we played fill in the blank with Preston, Vontez Perfect is blank. He just went straight for it. He's a crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I think most people feel that way. Like, he's just, he's a little, he's obviously off. But that is beneficial in football if contained correctly. We don't need to go much into, yeah, into that. But I mean, Bengals fans, I think, know about that. But, yeah, it's the question that everyone has is the same one that we've had on this thing for since the first suspension was noted back in the middle of the offseason. How is he going to look when he returns?
Right.
And you never really know until you see him try to go play X number of snaps on Sunday, right? But I would say it could have been way worse. I think the expectations were possibly that he would look sloppy and overweight, and that is not the case. He looks in good shape. He does not look fat. And we've seen him look fat, and it's noted when he looks fat. We mentioned when he looks fat, like he did throughout a lot of the offseason program. And I think he appears to have gotten that together over his hiatus, which I think has a lot of folks inside of the Bengals offices. I don't know if it's relieved, but definitely pleased.
Yeah, but some of the questions you have, like, will he be overweight? I think we've been able to sort of eye test that. How do you just jump right back in? I mean, do the other linebackers, other defenders have to kind of adjust the way he plays? Obviously, this is something that they've had to do for, 3 years running now. But just even just getting all the way down, digging down into will he be on the field on third down in nickel situations? I asked you that this morning. If he's 100% and everything was, if it was maybe a couple weeks from now, I think that would be a yes, but I don't know about that for this Sunday.
And Marv even said this much. I mean, we asked him about it in a Wednesday press conference, and actually on Monday too. And he said, I don't know if he'll be on third down. I don't even know if he'll be on first down, right? I mean, but I think, I mean, judging, they need so much help on third down that, like, you know, maybe you think that they would, that would be a place where they would try to use him. But you're gonna want, you want to kind of get a gauge for his speed and coverage ability first, and his conditioning. I'm curious to see how they use him, how full go it is, and what situations they choose to put him in. But I fully suspect by next week against Pittsburgh, they plan on him being his full self. This is his one game to sort of ease back in a little bit and then be his full self next week. And then, and I think history suggests that.
Yeah, we'll have 1 week of acclimation, Tez. And then I think the past two seasons he's been suspended, I think he had 100% of defensive snaps the second game each time. So
yeah, so I would think that it doesn't appear there's any injury issue. Now, we don't know that for certain as far as lingering, because since he's on a roster exemption still, which expectations are probably Friday, he'll come off the roster, get activated, and Eifert will go to IR. But since he's on a roster exemption, he does not have to be listed on the injury report. And so if he did have something lingering from the ankle that he had during preseason, we don't know that. We do know that he's been out there and appeared to be a full participant. We only can see so much, but he appears to be a full participant, appears to be in good shape. You don't see him being limited in the things that we watch. So I think that's certainly encouraging for everybody wondering what are they getting, because everybody knows what they need for that defense, and they need a playmaker like Perfect. We're going to run through some other news. I do want to get to a conversation that I had with Darren Simmons this week that I thought was interesting about a story that I'm writing that should be up on the site here very soon, about something I've talked a lot about on The Walkout and earlier this week about the foundation of belief. And the way that Darren described it, I think, really kind of backs up you know, something that is super important for this club. So I'm going to get to we'll get to that. But I want to talk about Joe Mixon first. So, you know, there was, I think, some question about Mixon and what he's going to be, and he wasn't cleared. He said he wasn't cleared when we talked to him on Wednesday, but I believe he must have gotten cleared right after that, because then we had Marvin on the podium not too much longer, and he gave the weather analogy. The most San Diego weather analogy that I've heard from Marvin Lewis, and that was the sun is up and it's shining bright on Joe Mixon. So, oh, Marv weather analogy season. It's just, it makes you feel warm inside.
I think I've been on the ups and the downs of the Marvin Presser roller coaster.
It's all it is. It only goes up and down. There's no, like at Kings Island, they used to have the Adventure Express, which was mostly for, like, families, like parents that didn't like roller coasters, but you had a kid that you don't want on big ones and be able to go on one. It barely had hills. You would go up this terrible, cheesy, like, Aztec ruins concept, and like smoke would come through, but you never really did anything. You just kind of went around in circles, and it wasn't very adventurous. That's not the Marvin Lewis roller coaster. The Marvin Lewis roller coaster is like the Beast or Millennium Force. If you've ever been there, Cedar Point, do you guys have any amusement park situation down in town?
Six Flags. You got to drive to Atlanta.
Yeah, but it's not world renowned like the one right up the street here.
No,
you don't even know about the amusement park experience Ohio has to offer.
No, not we just walk out into the woods and
it's scary as hell.
It's just scary enough. But no, Marvin, you know, it's just watching him sometimes when he winces at a question like about third down. He gave the exact opposite of that though of Joe, because you know historically I've always had this thing in the back of my head, like coaches just think all we care about is injuries. And it is a big deal, obviously, for the fans and the gamblers out there. Mm-hmm. But when you ask an injury question, it's been my experience that most of the time you get that injury wince, like, okay. But Marvin he gave that Marvin smile.
Yeah, totally, like, outgoing optimistic, and Joe was limited on Wednesday, but for the most part, they brought him out to break the huddle and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, it was Joe's back. You know, which is convenient because a couple other things have happened. Giovanni Bernard, which we told you couldn't finish on Sunday, has a knee injury, and he has been on the side field and not participated at all the first couple of days this week. And I would say it doesn't look good for him for this Sunday. So now you are still kind of in the same situation. You had Gio, now you lose him, and Joe comes back, and you still have Mark Walton, who you need, and you may need Thomas Rawls a little bit. We'll see. With not knowing exactly what Joe's going to be able to give you, you hope you know what you're going to get from him, but I would think we'd see Thomas Rawls up for the first time on Sunday. We'll see, I guess, to Marvin. But it's just, you know, I think it having Mixon back is a big lift for everybody, and good news for them there. So Gio's down, but you talked to Billy Price this week, and the news was not good there.
Right, and it wasn't a setback with his foot. He did reveal that he has a partially torn ligament. I don't believe he had said that last week, but he basically said that he got excited and kind of ahead of himself and felt he hasn't felt pain. He doesn't have swelling, but he said he overspoke about when he could come back. He thought Steelers game was it, but he's going to be in that boot for two more weeks, and then they're going to reevaluate him. So the earliest he could come back is Kansas City.
Yeah. And that's just when they can reevaluate. Who knows how long it will be after that. The good news is Trey Hopkins has filled in admirably, and the line appears to be doing fairly well. And so at the very least, we have not seen a ton of the issues coming from the interior. Most of any of the issues have come on the edges, and that includes Cordy Glenn, who's given up a lot of pressures the last few weeks. But, you know, as a whole, the offensive line doesn't get enough credit. They're top 10 in sacks per pass play. They're, you know, 4.6, 4.7 for Gio and Joe. So, you know, I think things on the whole are doing well there. They may have found a little something in Trey Hopkins, I think.
Yeah, Billy made that point, is that now you've for a bad reason, you've found out what you might have in Hopkins. And maybe when Billy comes back, maybe Trey could push Redmond at right guard.
Yeah.
You've created depth.
Yeah, who's also a little dinged this week and showed up limited on the injury report. I think he's okay, but
yeah,
that's something to monitor as you go forward.
But,
attention, Westerman Hive.
Oh, no.
Yeah, unleash him. Unleash the Westerman Hive. They want him. Why doesn't he play? Why does he play? They're idiots. He needs to play.
Everything for me has been a question. I'm in week three. I don't know what my grace period is for a new guy, but the Trey Hopkins eliminates a question. You know, it's like, what are you going to do if Billy gets hurt? What could you do at right guard if this happened? That takes away some questions because I think Trey's proven himself.
Yeah, I agree. All right, I want to bring in the conversation with Darren Simmons. This piggybacks on something we talked about on the OG BBP earlier this week, and that was about this concept of the foundation of belief that this team has, that they're going to win anything, and where it comes from, and how real is that, how much does it matter. And you know, I thought Darren Simmons had some really interesting things to say that with me this week, so I'm going to bring that little conversation with him. We'll come back and we'll do predictions, and then we will get to Preston Brown on BTS.
You've been around here a long time, mm-hmm. and I feel like finishing games and mm-hmm. coming up with ways to win, it can be cyclical a little bit,
mm-hmm.
where teams just have it and they find it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something yes. you feel like early yes. this season is something?
For sure.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, I think the feeling is in the Southland, we're always in it.
Yeah. And that doesn't exist all years.
No. Well, I think the difference is we're scoring points right now.
Yeah, yeah.
It was different. It was a different feeling a year ago. At this time, we weren't scoring points. We're scoring points, and we're scoring points in bunches. And so I think that if we always feel like we have a chance to be in every game, and they yeah. keep showing that. I mean, we had the ball in the first fourth down play we had in that last drive. I'm talking to our guys about, hey, what we're going to do on the kickoff when we score.
Yeah, yeah.
We're playing what to do on the kickoff through various situations based on the amount of time left when we score.
Right.
I haven't done that always in the past. I haven't been as confident that was going to happen. I was very confident it was going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, that's – I feel like if you ever look for teams that overachieve, like mm-hmm. a common denominator, it is like particularly early in the season,
yeah.
building a sense of belief.
Well, they believe. They believe in each other.
Because they don't always – especially with young teams, they don't always have that belief unless they have wins like Sunday.
They don't have enough skins on the belt.
Yeah.
And or skins on the wall.
Yeah.
And we're starting to get some skins on the wall. And guys are starting to believe. So, you know – to have success in something, you have to believe in it.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe that they're going to score, then, you know, why do any of it?
Yeah.
You know, but there was definitely a sense of urgency and a sense of belief that when we got the ball, that we were going to score.
Yeah. It's one of those intangibles that people don't talk much about.
It's huge. And it's, yeah. The one thing I think that comes out of that game, too, is people don't know how – I mean, people on the outside, they have no idea – how hard it is to win. And
yeah.
what goes in, the ebb and flow of everything that goes into a game like that.
Yeah.
And how much that, you know, mentally, emotionally, you're just drained at
yeah.
the end of those games. But it's a testament to our team, though, that we're able to stick together, believe in each other, and come up with a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
They take a lead in the fourth quarter right there, and Alex rips them on a kickoff return. We have an answer. It seems like we... whatever group it is steps up and has an answer for it. So that's the positive part. I think people feel the sense of wanting to be the difference, and that's kind of, you know, one of our special teams mantras right now is we got to be a difference.
The thing I love about Darren Simmons is from a total scribe perspective, people don't think about him enough as someone that you should be talking to for stories that aren't like special teams related, which he was great on. I didn't even play that for you, but he was like, Tony McCray was not offsides either time. Mm-hmm. He was not offsides, and he was told to try to go out there and anticipate it because there was no risk at all. It was 4th and 19 on a short enough field goal. It would be stupid to not try to anticipate the count and jump, but he's great for stuff like that. The fact that he's been here so long, that he's been here as long as Marvin Lewis has been here, he understands the dynamic of this franchise and big picture stuff like this, and he's seen it all here, and he deals with everyone on the roster, that he has such a unique perspective, and he is so real. He will just be so real with you on stuff like this, where that's why this isn't a coach blowing blowing smoke up my butt here. Like, this is real the way he feels about it. And the way he was interrupting the question to get his answer out shows you, yes, absolutely, this is totally a real thing. And in my opinion, the biggest part of the first four games wasn't three wins. It is this whole foundation of finishing, and that's connected to Andy Dalton and everything else that has developed.
Yeah, I walked by when you were interviewing him. Mm-hmm. I was dropping some eaves.
Yeah.
And I think I heard him say, like, you want to cut to the chase? And it was just the way he was so, like, intense about picking up from your question to his answer.
Yeah, I mean, he just – I think everyone in the building understands how important these last four games have been for that fact, and getting some skins on the wall, like he said, for a young team – really goes a long way. So thanks for Darren for helping, and check out that story that is up on Cincinnati.com, on our Inquirer Bengals app, like everything else is. Also up there, you know what else is up there? Our predictions. You can also hear them right now. So let's talk a little bit about the Dolphins real quick. I don't think people realize that Ryan Tannehill has been a pretty good quarterback.
He's good.
He has been, and at least Adam Gase has helped him be good. People don't think about that because he's had injuries, and Miami's sort of out of the realm of teams people usually talk about, and Tannehill's not part of the young core of great quarterbacks. He's certainly not thought of that way. He's got some Dalton in him that way. He's sort of constantly discounted and forgotten nationally. But, you know, they have been really good in his starts. He's 12-5 in his last 17 starts, 10-2 in his last 12. You know, passer rating up around 100. But because of injuries and everything else, like, people just don't talk about him much.
Well, stats. I got some stats.
You got stats?
He completed 73% of his passes in the Dolphins' three wins to open the season.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible.
Well, I mean, it's great. And they, you know, I just think that's why people discount them, is because they think all nationally, all it is who's the team, who's their quarterback. I make a judgment, right?
Right.
And everyone has made judgments on Ryan Tannehill, and that's why they count the Dolphins out. But when you win enough games, at a certain point, you got to stop counting them out, the same way with Andy and the same way with Tannehill. So, I'm curious. I mean, and their big play explosive ability is something to be scared of. I mean, they have Kenny Stills, and they have been able to hit a lot of big plays, second most in the NFL this year in explosive pass plays.
Right.
They're fast.
I was going to say a lot of that comes yards after the catch.
Totally.
That's something I included in three keys.
Yeah.
You know, you asked a question on our prediction video. Who are the Dolphins?
Right.
I just point blank said,
I'm not sure. Well, and I don't know if anybody's sure. Because when you see, but I'm just saying, look, Bengals fans and someone who was there, I know what it looks like when an angry Bill Belichick team gets you in their house. Yeah. On to Cincinnati Bengals, remember that very clearly. Tom Brady screaming and yelling on the opening drive in New England, never looking back. So I give Miami a bit of benefit of the doubt. That's just a buzzsaw game. Like, no one was going to go in there and win against angry Tom and Bill. They got housed. A team that knows them, all that stuff. I think they're more the 3-0 team than they are the 38-17, personally.
So you see them pushing for a wild card spot?
I think they'll be in that mix. Yeah, I think they'll be in that mix. I mean, the rest of the East is poor. So, you know, they should be able to win. They should be able to gobble up some dubs against Buffalo and the Jets. I mean, that's important. You know, they're not playing a first-place schedule. There's in the AFC, that's important because it's pretty top-heavy that way. I think they'll be in the mix.
Yeah, and then if you're Adam Gase, you've gone to the playoffs 2 out of your 3 years, and you're off and running.
And this is one of those – You know what it is? Classic trap game.
Oh, no.
Classic trap game. Coming off the emotional high of Atlanta. Pittsburgh is right there next week. Will the young team avoid the classic trap? It's a trap.
You are a veteran narrative sculptor.
It is, though. But I will say one thing with Marvin Lewis's teams, traditionally, they've done the one thing you do get from them is you do typically get the play hard every week deal. That's his thing. I mean, that there are so many things you can criticize about Marvin Lewis era and the way their teams play. Typically, they come in and they've always done a good job of beating the teams they should. And typically, they don't beat the teams that are ahead of them, and they don't play well in big games. And those are all consistent things. But playing week to week with pretty high effort is, I would say, fairly consistent. You know, discipline and other things, we can talk about that. But usually, they're rarely a team to overlook anybody because of kind of the way Marv coaches. Blue collar grinder. I'm full of it today.
You are. Yeah, they're not trying to build a house. They're trying to lay down this one brick perfectly.
Brick by brick, Butch Jones?
I'm not going Butch Jones.
You are going brick by brick.
It's not brick by brick. It's this one brick right now has got to go in its slot perfectly.
That's what brick by brick means.
No, it's just brick.
Just brick?
Yeah, just brick. You don't worry about the by brick. Because then next week, it's kind of like tomorrow. There's no such thing as the next brick. Because you just got this brick right now. I don't want to be associated with Butch Jones.
I'm being very firm about it. You went with a brick analogy, so you are associated with Butch Jones.
Not a fan of Butch.
You and most people listening to this podcast and the guy talking on it next to you. So we're all in the same boat there together. Let's go prediction time. Official prediction before we get to Preston Brown. What do you got? What do you think? What's the difference?
Well, that's a milestone moment here because it's the first time I'm picking the Bengals to win.
Wow.
I've got them winning 31-21. I don't really believe in the momentum and all that stuff, but the point is that they made last week in Atlanta is that I think that this team is on the verge, I guess, you could say they're for real. But I think they're ready for big moments, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a fourth quarter, last second comeback to be a big moment. I think you've sort of laid out the cliff notes for you've got to take care of games like this where you just came off a big win. You got a big rival coming up next week. This is a big moment. Every week's a big moment.
Sure.
Every week is a season.
It's sort of like brick by brick, really.
A little bit. You got Joe coming back, Tez coming back. And I think the Bengals offense is going to keep rolling.
Yeah, the Dolphins defense struggles. I mean, that's the clear area. It's sort of Falcons-esque in that way that they've struggled against the pass and teams have been able to run it up against them. And you saw how Brady took advantage of that last week. They're pretty good protection-wise. They're really good protection-wise, actually. They have allowed hardly any pressures. How about this? From the PFF perspective, they have all of their starting offensive linemen, the most pressures anyone has allowed is 5. Let's see. The Bengals, I believe, Cordy Glenn has 16. Bobby Hart has 16. Alex Redmond has 12. Clint Bowling has 5. Everyone has more than 5.
Yeah.
So if you know, they have done a good job of protecting Ryan Tannehill, and that's a big difference. But defensively, I think the Bengals should be able to gouge them if they can keep it going. And I think they do. I'm going with the 34-23 because that has already happened twice this year. And the third time, as you know, can be a charm. It can be a hat trick. History can be predictive of future success. I'm just full of every journo cliche right now.
I'm telling you, you're like the Joe Mixon of this podcast. You've got some sunshine about you.
I've maybe too much sunshine because you know what happens when they lose? I'm going to be hammering them in the walkout, destroying, because I used up way too much positivity. And it was unfounded, and that's gonna piss me off.
It's the first game of quarter two.
Yeah, and you know when the negativity comes out is Steelers week.
That's right.
Because that's the ultimate. I've seen this movie before. Has there ever been 18 sequels to any movie ever? I know Rocky is attempting it.
Land Before Time.
Land Before Time.
You remember that movie?
Oh, barely.
About the dinosaur.
But there were 18 sequels?
I think so. Look it up.
BBP listeners, please investigate this bold claim. Anyway, if there were a movie with 18 sequels, that would be the equivalent to talking about Steelers games. Movies I don't need to see. Harry Potter, right? It's trending. trending towards 18. I don't know. Send me your high sequel movies and novels, and we can compare them to Bengals Steelers, and hopefully all of them end in like just murder at the end, because that's pretty much how Bengals Steelers has always worked out at Paul Brown Stadium.
Hey, this is why it's a trap game, because we're talking about the Steelers again.
It's a trap.
I'm excited for Steelers week. Everybody I talk to in the building, they're like, "You ready for next week?"
Yeah.
I'm like, What's going to happen next week?
It is always season defining. Always season defining. All right. So it was great having Preston Brown on BTS this week. He talks about a lot of things. He talks about Vontaze Burfict. He talks about the team as a whole, the defense being kind of messy and ways that they're going to try to get it fixed. And then on the hot seat with Doc, he talks a lot about Cincinnati. Doc mentions a lot of old people that even you and I didn't know from Cincinnati. And Preston kind of is like, what?
Hey, Preston said he liked Gold Star better than.
That's an unorthodox opinion. Rare. And only because I have so much respect for him coming on our show did I not berate him for it. But we'll talk about it later with him. An intervention will have to be had. Maybe he's just never had Skyline. He was a College Hill guy, though. Like, weird stuff happens in College Hill.
I've never been.
There's a great bakery over there. North College Hill Bakery. Note.
I'm on it. I like all bakeries.
All bakeries. Similar to all Chili's and Chili's 2's. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to The Deuce. We'll obviously be back with the walkout. Make sure you pick up the game day section on Sunday or just read it online at Cincinnati.com or Inquirer Bengals app. All of the things. If you get a chance, listen to That So Cincinnati. We talk about Viaduct, hashtag Zoo Talk, and many other fun tangents. High school reunions, the onslaught of chicken joints and workout places to my neighborhood, many other fun things. So if you get a chance, listen to that. Subscribe, myself and Jason Williams, over on the other side of the newsroom. So anyway, thanks everybody for listening. We'll talk to you later. Have a good one, everybody. All right, welcome back here on Beyond the Stripes. We are here with Bengals linebacker, hometown hero, Preston Brown. How are we doing, Preston?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Man, great to have you here with us. Let's we like to call this segment Fill in the Blank. So we're going to kind of – we have a little fill in the blank for you. We'll see where this goes. Mm-hmm. So our first fill in the blank today, start with you, Lindsay. I'll let you kick it off so you can kind of get us going in the right direction. Vontaze Burfict is blank.
He's scary. That's the first thing that comes to mind when I see Vontaze Burfict on the field. And I've actually heard offensive guys say it in practice. When you have to go up against him, it hurts. You're in that cold tub a little longer. So he is scary good on the defense. And a game changer.
Scary is yours. All right, Preston, what's your word?
Crazy.
Crazy.
He knows he's pretty crazy. But, I mean, he's just so smart on the field. I mean, calling out plays. And then when he gets there, he's a little crazy. So I like it.
You like that. Have you ever played with anybody that is like that before?
No. I mean, I played with Calvin Pryor in college, and he was knocking people out every week at safety. But nobody with that intensity each and every game, practice, walkthroughs, in the lunch line. I mean, he's just always got some intensity.
Crazy in the lunch line. I like that. Fletcher, what do you got?
I'm going to go with targeted.
Yeah.
From referees, opposing players, fans. I mean, everybody's always watching Tez. And he's earned that reputation. I mean, there's some things, obviously, he's done in the past, but the refs keep a close watch on him.
And with all the new rules, it'll be the first time we see him with all the new rules, and we'll see how that all plays out as well. I'm going to say Vontaze Burfict is one player. Too often, people, when he has come back off these, think he's going to come in with the Superman cape on and fly in, and he can fix any problem that you have, and that's not been the case, and that won't be the case, because with defense, it's one guy cannot come in and fix everything. What is the biggest thing, Preston, though, you think that Vontaze can bring to you guys that maybe you could use right now?
Just the mentality. I think we've been struggling a lot on third down, and that's something that he's not going to tolerate. I mean, he's going to make sure everybody's doing what I do throughout the week. If we're messing up on third down during the week, I'm sure he'll start the practice over, start the period over, make sure we get that thing right, because it's been too many third down conversions.
You're right about that. So let's jump into the next of our fill in the blanks. The Bengals defense needs blank. What does the Bengals defense need?
This isn't going to sound super nice right now, but they need the offense. If you've watched the first month, the offense is performing over 30 points a game. So right now, you want to be able to avoid, you want to get off the field, of course, but you want to be able to avoid like relying on the offense right now, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah. Hey, 3-1 at the end of the day is what matters. But yeah. You're right. You're right. It's a matter of finding out that. But you know what? I remember talking with Andy after the game, asking if he liked shootouts. And he said, I'd like to win big. And he goes, but I understand there's going to be weeks where we're going to get our butts saved by that defense. And that's how it is. It's all a matter of how you end up at the end. Preston, what does the defense need?
Just consistency. Mm-hmm. I mean, first and second down, we're doing all right. But last week, we had too many 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-3. So they're going to have a high conversion rate. But when we get 3rd-and-7, 3rd-and-12, we're letting guys miss tackles. Just silly things that's not scheme-based. It's just us finding a way out the field. So we need consistency.
Hey, mine is get off the field.
Yeah.
Opponents are converting 57% of third downs. And you know how that goes. The more third downs get converted, the more plays you're out there for, and it just sort of compounds on itself.
Yeah, I will say Bengals defense needs cohesion, right? It's just a matter of playing together. I think it seems like it's not a matter of the parts not being there. It seems like some of those plays, it seems stuff where it's just like, oh, it just seems like there's just a tick off on whether it's a communication or where a guy is at or just not getting the tackle down. It seems like maybe that's what it is. Whatever it is, I know you guys are working hard to get it fixed. How different is a week like this? You're coming off a win, but one where you give up those kind of points. You know you're going to hear it right when you get in there. How different is this to a week where maybe you give up 10 or 14 or something like that?
Yeah, it's always a inner battle between offense and defense. I mean, you always want to be the better team. I mean, that's how it is. It's always competition, but. Offense did so great, so we're trying to walk around the building, trying to make sure we get ourselves right so they won't look at us like, oh, we can't get off the field. We don't have any punt returns on the year that much. So we got to step it up so we can be a better unit overall. So that's how we're feeling this weekend. The corrections been going well, and hopefully with a Dolphins offense coming in, we can shut them down.
Absolutely. Plenty of time to do that. Let's take a quick break here on Beyond the Stripes. We'll be right back with the hot seat.
And we are back on Beyond the Stripes. This segment is known as the hot seat. I tend to call it the cool seat because the people who do it are cool. And I don't ask really tough questions, man, I promise. All right? Michael Preston Brown, you committed originally to the University of Cincinnati. Uh-huh. Then you finked out on us and went to Louisville. How come?
I was committed. I think I committed after my sophomore season, and I really liked Brian Kelly and what they were doing. I mean, they're top 10 in the country every year. Then Butch Jones came in, and I just wasn't feeling the whole new regime. And I like what Coach Strong was preaching down there at Louisville.
It was a good choice on your part.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, you were the 11th linebacker taken in the 2010 draft. That was a mm-hmm. good year for linebackers. Mm-hmm. Ryan Shazier, Khalil Mack, C.J. Mosley. But you were 11th, man. Did that seem kind of low to you?
No, I was just happy to go whenever. I mean, they were projecting I was going 7th round or back home. So I was totally fine with 11th, 12th, whatever it would
be. There you go. Have you ever heard of Jeremiah Ata'ochu?
Yeah, Georgia Tech.
Yeah, he was taking 5 spots ahead of you. He's got 84 career tackles. Mm-hmm. You had 144 in 1 year last year.
Yeah.
A little vindication there for you. you did lead the league last year, 144 mm-hmm. tackles. I want your take on the new rules, on the tackling rules.
I think it's more safety-driven on the legal headshots. I mean, that's kind of the guys who have to make the real quick decisions with receivers coming across the middle. But the quarterback thing is what's
right.
really going crazy this year. Just the whole body weight thing, which I think is probably another Vontez rule of how he did Big Ben in that playoff game. So it's definitely something that we got to find a way to move your body weight or whatever they say, or just be a lot of guys getting thrown on the ground instead. So I don't know if they really want that either. So it's pretty tough how you tackle them. But
how do you do that? I mean, I wrote last week that you got to be like Keanu Reeves in The Matrix. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of be able to adjust your body in midair. You lead the league in tackles last year. How does a good tackler manage to do that?
The main thing is just getting your head out of it. They want that out of it totally. So you got to get your head to the side. But you can't be too high either, because then when you wrap, you're going to wrap his head, and you're going to see like Carl Lawson got last week, and you'll get a penalty for that too. So you got to be low, but not too low, because if you're too low, you can hit his knee, and then that's another flag. So it's that little strike range that you got to hit trying to go as fast as you can with a grown man blocking you. So it sounds pretty easy.
Do you understand the rule yet also think it's a little bit ridiculous?
Yeah, I understand. I mean, the quarterback is what drives the game and the face of every franchise, but I mean, they got to feel some pressure back there, because eventually they're going to be back there with no fear.
You ever know anybody who played rugby?
No.
Rugby guys tackle as hard as you guys. They have no helmets, no shoulder pads. They're not allowed to hit above here. Mm-hmm. And they have fewer concussions than you guys do. So maybe the NFL should start playing without pads and without helmets.
I hope they do that once I retire. I don't want to go out there with no helmet. I think I'll shut it down.
But if the other guys don't have them either and you don't have any pads on, what's the difference?
I don't like the idea. I've seen some rugby girls on Instagram, and they look pretty vicious. I think I'll stay away from that.
Rugby girls on Instagram. Judging from social media and your cap, you are a Reds guy.
Yeah.
What's their problem, man?
I don't know. I mean, we haven't really been good since Dusty left. It's been a long time, but hopefully they can get together. They got good players. They just need
more pitching, I guess. All right, if you're the general manager, give me one thing they need to do yesterday.
Yesterday?
Well, you know what I mean. Right now, in the moment, what can they do?
I think they need better pitching, but they also don't get that many runs. I mean, the end of the season, they were scoring like 1-2. It was pretty bad. So I think they need a whole overhaul, and hopefully Barry Larkin didn't help that.
He's not going to be the manager. But, you went to Northwest High School. Mm-hmm. You played your college 2 years down, two hours down the road. You're a Cincinnati guy, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm going to mention some places, things, people, whatever. You tell me what they are. Terry's Turf Club.
Is it some golf club?
It's the burger joint on the east side. The Genius of Water.
No idea.
Come on, man. That's the nickname of the fountain on Fountain Square.
Oh.
The man on the giant mural along the side of the building and over the Rhine. Who is that?
The boxer?
No, but good try. Singer.
James Brown?
There you go. Getta.
Some cheese?
Cheese?
Yeah.
No, it's sort of like this really wonderful stuff they put together with all the innards of cows and pigs and stuff. Oh, it's like a sausage thing.
Okay.
You're not doing so good on this.
No.
Timmy Austin.
Timmy Austin. No idea.
Olympic medal winner, boxer. Cincinnati. Ezra Charles.
Boxer.
There you go. Ernie Isley.
No idea.
A member of the Isley Brothers. You ever heard of the Isley Brothers?
Oh, I know.
Pioneers in soul music. You ever heard the song Fight the Power?
Yeah.
Isley Brothers. Ernie Isley on guitar. Charles Manson. Native Cincinnatian. Huh?
Is that the crazy guy?
Yes, it is. And currently serving many life sentences for murdering people.
Yeah.
Flying Brian Pillman.
No idea.
Professional wrestler. Jim Ozarski.
You?
Oh, man. Next time this guy's on, that would be a former beat writer for the Cincinnati Bengals. He left about a month or two ago, right? That's right. Okay, so you were about 2 for 10 on that, Michael Preston Brown.
Yeah.
What would you like newcomers and outsiders to know about your hometown?
I don't know. I didn't make it out of College Hill much. So, I like La Rosa's, and I like Gold Star. That's what they should like.
Okay. This is a quote, and I want you to tell me if you know who said this. Had it not been for the support and encouragement he received from big-hearted people, then he would not be in the position he is in today. Who said that?
Marvin?
Michael Hairston. Who's Michael Hairston?
No idea.
That's a quote on your website, man.
Oh, shoot.
He's talking about the Preston Brown Foundation and
that's
Preston's
my financial
playbook.
Advisor. I thought it was somebody fancy.
You don't know your money guy?
I thought it was something fancy.
Now you're about the first professional athlete not knowing his name is money guy right off the bat. Who are your favorite big-hearted people then? Maybe who are the people that made you want to do what you do? You do a lot of stuff in the community.
Yeah, my parents.
Yeah.
My dad's a teacher since Knight Public, since before I was born. So always trying to get back, and my mom's just such a loving person.
Yeah.
So things, having them in my life is something I always want to do, just help people. Now that I'm in a position, I like to help as much as possible.
What do you think your biggest impact is on kids?
Trying to do education. That's what I went to school for as well, trying to be a teacher. So I want to help kids reach their dream no matter what it is. If it's a teacher, a lawyer, a football player, whatever it is, they got to find ways to help reach their dream.
Perfect day for you.
Ooh, perfect day for me is to win a football game, go home with my girlfriend and watch and play Spider-Man till I die a couple times. She gets frustrated, and then we sit there, watch a movie, drink some orange juice, and go to sleep.
Drink some orange juice?
Yeah.
Why orange juice?
I don't know. We both been kind of sniffly lately, so that's been our thing.
Kind of what?
Sniffly.
Sniffly?
Yeah.
Oh, you're getting a cold. I got you. Last question, I'll let you go. You're at the gates of heaven convincing St. Peter to let you in. What do you say to him?
Can I come in?
What if he says you got to do better than that?
I mean, he's seen my resume. Hopefully, I guess I have a resume in my pocket. I can show him the things I've been trying to do to help other people and how I repent my sins every night.
Yeah. Fair enough. Preston Brown, thanks for being on the hot seat. Jim Ozarski here reporting for Beyond the Stripes. We'll be back momentarily.